Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And all aboard, because we are taken to the high seas on this episode. Yet again to a boat in the Pacific Northwest. I know, Nancy, that you have...
This season is not for the landlubbers. There is quite a bit of open sea.
It's like, okay, Seattle, we get it.
You're the coast.
You're near a body of water. Like, I just, the Pacific Northwest is so silly because, like, it is an objectively miserable place to live. It is cold. It is rainy. It is gray. And they just, like, insist on being like, it's incredible. The one day a year it's sunny, it looks pretty. But otherwise,
I don't think it's a miserable place to live, but it's a moody.
Mystical. Fine. Okay. That's if you want to be diplomatic about it.
Can we fact check? Like, we have been on boats multiple times, right? Like, I'm not just imagining things or, like, flattening seasons. We were also on a boat earlier this year, weren't we?
I actually don't know if we were.
I actually don't think we were either.
They did the mussel, like, diving or the oyster diving.
Okay, maybe. I don't know why I have it in my head. Like, so many a Top Chef season seems to end on a boat.
On a boat.
I don't know. So
I actually think it's probably Tom Colicchio's conspiracy to just, like, let work for him.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to be on a boat.
Dude loves boats. Dude loves luxury liners.
Luxury waters. But yeah, it's just like... Oh, God. It's like, oh, but we have the ocean.
Okay. We need to Seattle. We need to get our amuse-bouche in here, so.
Well, no, not amuse-bouche. We have a leftover.
Oh, we've got a leftover, but then we need to, because I'm ready to get this ball.
Okay,
I'm ready for this boat to leave dock.
Okay. We have one leftover, which is I made a claim, or I asked a question to the ether of, is crystal meth legal in the Pacific Northwest? And what we learned is that the state of
legal.
Okay, but the state of Oregon decriminalized, like, almost every hard drug, including methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. That's as close to legal as it's gonna get in the United States.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Okay, anyway, so there you go. Oh, wait. But I think that they recriminalized it because they realized it was kind of insane to decriminalize.
Okay.
Crystal meth.
Pivot.
Okay. That's all we have. So, Bits, let's begin.
Okay, Nancy, I'm going to start with my amuse-bouche reaction.
Okay, Bits, what's your amuse-bouche reaction?
This may be the first episode in Top Chef history where I actually found everything visually revolting. I thought everything was disgusting this episode.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of it. There was not a single entree in the elimination challenge that I would eat. And the fact that nobody at that table shared that opinion. Nay, they actually endorsed a lot of the food. Nay. I am just flabbergasted. What about you?
This to me is an example of, like, product placement gone wrong. You know, like, they just the cruise ship of it all. Look, we saw that in the most recent season. In general, I think we need to accept that cruise ships are not suitable, like, destinations for Top Chef excellence.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Especially the cuisine kitchen.
Oh,
which is where we found ourselves today.
This felt like it belonged back in season 6, like the year 2009.
Yes.
The era of this restaurant was so anachronistic.
Yes.
In the year 2000 and whatever, when this season, like 12, when this season aired. I truly cannot believe that we are dining.
It felt like a conspiracy that. Like, it was a true conspiracy cover-up that everybody just made us accept that was, like, a normal and high-end restaurant.
Yeah, it was, like, circus food. And I think I would venture to say that the chefs were like, are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, I mean, everybody had a good tood about it. You know, like, flipping my criticism the other way, like, at least everybody seemed to not bring bad juju to it. But I... Mm-hmm. I'm not fooled. You didn't fool me.
No, nope. I don't want to be on this cruise to Alaska, which, by the way, I have been on a cruise to Alaska.
As have
for
I.
My grandparents' whatever-th anniversary when I was, like, young. Royal Caribbean.
It's actually beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. Gorgeous. But you don't go on for the food.
No. You go because it's a good family vacation. Ay, va, va. Well, why don't we get into the food? So our quickfire challenge, we've got Curtis Stone, the handsomest Australian chef. Who knows if he's actually good, but he is the singular cooking personality to come out of Australia. So the idea is that the remaining chefs, Brooke, Josh, Stefan, Sheldon, and Lizzie, as a reminder to those listening at home, have to feed 200 guests in 2 hours on a one-bite amuse-bouche featuring iceberg lettuce.
And correct me if I'm wrong, was this the same – they're in this on the same boat all episode, or is this a different boat?
Oh, they're on the same boat, baby.
Okay, at least that. Maybe that's where my they boarded. Ire is coming from. Nancy, what do we think about the scale of this quickfire, I might add?
This is not the scale of a quickfire. I'm sorry. Yeah. Even 100 would have been insane.
Yeah.
Not about it. Okay, another gear to grind on this quickfire, and I wonder if I should save this for my judgy table, but like, they were dogging on iceberg lettuce pretty hard.
I mean, y'all picked it.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing that I really loved, I don't know if you caught this, but there was like an exchange between Padma and Curtis up on the deck where she was like, Curtis, like, what would you do with it? And he goes, oh, there's a million things you can do. And then he proceeds to only list two things, which is, you know, you could have it fresh. You could caramelize it. And that's it. Like, there was no other thing he listed because there isn't any other thing you do with it. Like, you braise it or you...
I know exactly what I would have done for this challenge.
What would you have done? Because I am genuinely curious.
Okay. I guess I'm going to figure out... Oh, I guess I'm going to do my cold boat judgy table. So I know you've all been eagerly awaiting my cold boat judgy table from last episode. Okay. So I'll go off here. Iceberg lettuce in an Italian chopped salad is literally the greatest thing on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I fucking love iceberg lettuce. It is so crunchy. It is the most satisfying, delicious thing. What I would have done is I would have taken a little leaf of iceberg lettuce and I would have cut up a delicious soppressata or a gabagool, you know, whatever you got lying around the kitchen. And I would have dressed it with, like, you can put some radicchio in there.
Yes.
And some chopped red onion, some shaved mozzarella cheese, like just a classic, and a chickpea. It's the fucking Nancy Silverton chopped salad. Nancy salad.
Yes. Yes. And it's, on a lettuce? It's close to our Leo. It's close to our favorite salad in New York at Leo.
Yes, exactly. Like, iceberg lettuce slaps. It's so tasty. It's not tasty. It's just like a delicious crunch and it's fresh. So everyone's saying, like, it's so boring. I hate it. Just expand your mind to the Italian-American experience is what I have to say.
I completely agree. And I also will just lob this blanket criticism at all of the chefs for this quickfire. Literally everybody made a wedge salad.
Yes.
With the exception of Sheldon. If there's a bacon in this, it's a wedge salad in my mind. And
yep.
We had Brooke, Josh, and Lizzie all featuring bacon.
Straight to
in
chair.
In their bites. And I think we maybe skipped over, like, this is like in one bite. So they needed to use the iceberg lettuce for one perfect bite.
Yep. The lack of creativity here. Here's the thing. 2 hours to make 200 portions, you don't have time to get creative.
Yeah.
Which is why I like am also mad about the challenge itself. Make it 50 portions. Like if you're trying to do a quantity and speed thing, at least give them a second to think. Also, 2 hours is not quick.
They needed to dial one of these constraint knobs.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you would have made it not one bite, I think you would have seen more interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that it has to be one bite, well, okay, then you sort of need to use the lettuce as a vessel of some kind or a container. And it can't be like the way that you described, just like a really – I mean, not to say that it would negate your idea either, but you sort of just end up with like a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
and that's it. And at least Sheldon did more of a Vietnamese inspired rap, and they thought that was really creative. But like most of them, Lizzie, Brooke, like theirs were pretty large. Brooke got a scallop in hers, but they were both pretty big for one bite. I love how like Padma always goes out of her way to like show how much she's struggling with the bite.
She's like, bitch, you asked for this.
Yeah. That's like annoying. That's like so performative to me, to be honest.
It's also like rude.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of like I have this one very tall friend and she always gets annoyed when people are like, whoa, you're so tall. She's like, commenting on someone's height is like the last form of like physical insult that is appropriate. Like,
cause yeah,
for very good reasons, you are not allowed, like in society, we are no longer okay with insulting people's physical appearance, but being like, whoa, you're tall, is like totally okay.
It's the final frontier.
Padma being like, this is so big. It's like,
that goes without saying.
Yeah. Also, like, you asked for it. Yeah. You literally asked for it.
Yeah. Open wide.
Oh, anyway. Okay. Quick rundown. Brooke makes a BLT with a scallop. So it's essentially a scallop. Josh, bacon jam. What a surprise.
So
yawn. Stefan, pastrami and cabbage with potato. What a surprise. My God, this man and potatoes. I'm over it. Lizzie, warm salad with bacon and anchovies. And then Sheldon, our golden goose, Vietnamese lettuce wraps with pork and shrimp and pickled iceberg lettuce hearts. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that sounded pretty solid, actually. I would eat that.
So Sheldon wins. Good. He's the only one who didn't do bacon. Oh, did Stefan have bacon in his?
I missed it if he did. Oh. There's certainly three people with bacon, Lizzie, Josh, and Brooke.
Yes. Okay, so then we have a bit of a break, and the chefs get to enjoy the spoils of the cruise. We got to talk here about some latent homophobia.
Wow, it was all over the place. Between, like, there was a few things. Obviously, let's talk about the nail salon trip. I'm actually going to the salon after this. And we also had a moment of him reacting to Lizzie cutting the breaking down the pig.
Yeah. But also like with the rooms. Well, so okay, what we were referring to.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
There are two scenes of like the chefs enjoying the boat's amenities. We have, what do Josh, Stefan, and Brooke do?
They're just sitting around like playing a board game or something. They're just like sitting
around.
Or
they're on like the deck, like looking at the scene. And then Sheldon and Lizzie go get manicures. Which, like, that's what I would fucking do if I were trapped on a cold boat. Again, wait for my fucking judgy table later. I'm really hyping it up. It's not going to be that good. And Josh is like, I don't know about you, but where I'm from, men don't do that. Where you're from, men stuff themselves with bacon until they have heart attacks and die. I'd rather get my nails done.
Yeah, it was, again, I don't know, an interesting time in society where, yeah, you could still say stuff like that and some people would be like, yeah. Yeah. Now everybody's like, oh, okay.
Now people are like, no, it feels nice to get all that dead skin out of there.
I actually cannot wait to get my nails done today.
Oh, I love it. What a treat. But yeah, and then like, you know, Stefan and Sheldon make jokes about like, oh, I guess we're sharing a bed, his and hers. And I'm like, oh my God.
This we're on is a gay like, cruise.
Yeah, my God. Like, it just goes to show how deeply insecure men are at all times.
It was a weird fixation with like that as a type of humor. Like, it almost makes you realize, like, how did we not have other things to talk about? But we didn't have as many memes back then either, so that
we didn't have as many memes. We didn't have, like, the world crumbling at our feet, you know? Like, it was a low interest rate time, as my boyfriend likes to say. We had different problems.
Yeah, so true, so true.
Things like that app, yo, we're getting funded.
Did you see this? We're, like, 39 seconds from doomsday.
Oh, good Lord.
Something like that. They updated the doomsday clock.
I mean, 39 seconds, that feels far away in my mind.
Well, I'll send you some details because I think that that was quite a leap from where it was previously. I think we were like a few minutes away or like 6 minutes or something.
Oh, I'm getting nauseous just thinking about it. So instead, let's talk about this elimination challenge. Talk about nausea. That'll clear that nausea
right up. Okay, yeah, we get our first dinner fake out. So, okay, the chefs, they're on their celebrity cruise ship, and they're like, join us for dinner at Cuisine. So they walk into what is the closest approximation of if you told a kid to design a restaurant, like an 8 to 12-year-old kid, like, what they would do, that's what Cuisine was. It literally looks like a McDonald's play
area. It looks like a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. Plus, like, a kid's show. I don't know. There's something, like, very, like, kid about it. Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to, like, the patterned carpet and the extremely weird-shaped plates, which you is know my what it reminded axe to grind. Me of?
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the restaurant in season 6 in Vegas, that really fancy French restaurant with that hideous purple carpet and those tall fabric chairs.
Yes.
It was giving
At least that one committed to being overstuffed and disgusting. This one was just sort of like a mess. Ugh. Like, it wasn't even singular in its bad taste, you know? Whereas that one was very singular in its bad taste. It was a taste. It was just bad.
Okay.
This one, I don't even know. Anyways, so the chefs are sitting there having dinner. They're pretending that they're enjoying it. And then out of nowhere, here comes Curtis and Padma to basically say, I hope you like it because you're running dinner service here tomorrow night. They lay out the challenge. The challenge this time is that they basically need to do a play on surf and turf. And because Sheldon won the quickfire, he gets an advantage, which we later realize is he gets to basically pick his surf and turf before the other chef contestants. All right, Nancy, let's get into like who picked what, starting with Sheldon. Talk to me about your reaction to Sheldon's
Sheldon choice. Really went heavy on the surf and turf and light on the reinvention. He was like, I'm looking around, I'm really stressed out, and I just pick things that I know I can, like, figure out what to do with. And so effectively, he played it safe. He did steak and lobster, which is textbook. Those are literally the two surf and turf items when you get surf and turf. So I think if you're going to pick the classic ingredients, you got to do something crazy with them. And he didn't. He made steak and tempura fried lobster. He was trying to redeem himself on the tempura. And as we see many times in Top Chef, when you try to recreate a bad dish, it's still a bad dish.
Yeah, you really just dig. You double down on it.
Which, by the way, Josh has done so many times with pork this season.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to be my pork challenge. This isn't going to be my pork challenge. I'll make bacon another time.
The thing that it breaks my heart with Sheldon with this episode, because it's sort of like when you're playing a game, like you're playing Catan, and you have to go first. Like, actually going first sometimes is a disadvantage, because you don't have time to kind of like see the other group's strategy. You sort of have to set the strategy or like be the defining decider. And so I just think that, you know, alternatively, he could have picked crazy shit and then looked around and saw everybody else picked like pretty like center of the spectrum. So I don't know. It was not a good place for him to be.
That was a beautiful analogy, by the way. Everyone knows that you want to go third in Catan.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot.
I would even say second to last to me is the best spot. Yeah, that's third. Well, oh, okay. I guess I usually play the expanded.
Oh, okay. You and your allegory.
Oh, I play with I have so many friends that play Catalan.
Sorry, we just have to accommodate all these people. Okay, fine. In my world, just in the regular box set, you want to go third.
Yes, it is the best spot. It is the best spot.
I haven't played Catan in a while. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's so fun. Let's talk about what everybody else grabbed, though.
Yep.
I think ones that seemed super interesting to me, Stefan and Brooke. Mm-hmm. I thought eel and pork belly was pretty cool, pretty interesting. That was Stefan's pick. And then Brooke did mussels and frog legs. I think the whole meow 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 there was that frog legs aren't really, they're like amphibian. So yeah, it's not super turf, but I don't think at that point, I don't think anybody's going to call her on that. I was like, obviously not surprised whatsoever about Josh picking pork belly, scallops, and bacon. He also picked bacon.
This man. It's just boring.
Know. It's so boring. What did Lizzie pick? I missed what Lizzie picked.
Lizzie picked pig and scallop. She did a suckling
That's
pig.
That's cool. That's cool. That's Which right. Which was we saw cool. Her breaking down.
Yeah. Like the Josh thing is just like bacon is such a singular flavor that anything you put in it, it's going to overpower. It's just going to be that. And it's annoying. The thing that annoys me about this particular challenge is that when you're cooking for a restaurant of people, like they have not had the past 11 episodes of Josh's bacon. Like they're not bored of it yet. So they're like, oh, I love this. And I'm like,
I'm shocked they haven't said anything about the bacon. Truly. Right? Like, or even the other contestants, but I guess everybody else is kind of throwing bacon around a lot too. So they can't throw stones.
It's just so one note
at bacon houses. Okay, let's talk about each plate. Yeah. So where do we want to start? Who came to the table first? I think it was Lizzie, actually.
I think Lizzie came to the table first with her suckling pig and scallop.
So this –
she made a cabbage roll with suckling pig, by the way.
I will say that most of the notes that I made here are around the plates that they served on.
Please.
I had a bit of a rating
I have
system.
No notes on the plates, so I'm going to need the full visual.
Okay, so I think the thing that really was giving me kid playroom was this that weird like composite plastic that all of these like they were almost like plastic chargers. I don't know how else to describe it. They had like little dishes, but they had this each of these plates for the most part there was some sort of foundational plastic charger that was this weird speckled plastic material that you honestly only see on playgrounds or weird toys. It was so distracting to me. So hers was like this weird zigzag situation, totally unnecessary for the thing. But the fact that the judges and the, you know, guest cuisine lady kept commenting on like, wow, such a cool presentation. No, it wasn't. It actually wasn't. It looked super dumb. It was really ugly. So anyways, I gave that plate a 2 out of 5.
Okay, and can you talk to us about the ranking system you developed for this? You can't just lob that out there.
It's a bit of a vibe one. Okay. I will tell you that nobody got higher than a 3 out of 5.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Well, on the food front, the critique of her food was that the cabbage wasn't cooked enough. Again, this is why like ships are not conducive formats for a Top Chef challenge at such high stakes. It like the induction burner stuff, like it's a different style of kitchen. You are adding so many elements and then on top of that, you have circus plates. Like what? You're literally having like acrobats come to the table and serve you food off their feet. It's crazy. Gross. Anyway. Okay. So yeah, Lizzie, the cabbage wasn't cooked enough, but I do think that they liked the pig and scallop. Like her proteins were well cooked, but the cabbage roll wasn't. So in the end, the dish did not deliver.
Yeah.
Next up, I believe it was – I honestly don't remember the order.
Remember
I'm sorry.
Either.
So why don't we talk about Brooke? Frog legs and mussels, a celery root and fennel puree, butter poached mussel, frog leg and beet, papadum and chutney.
Mm-hmm.
We're just throwing Indian cuisine into this all of a sudden, bro.
Yeah, wild. They looked pretty greasy too.
Yeah. Brooke sometimes is an interesting character to me because she's like, I make sushi for my husband all the time. Here's a papadum. Like, what are we proving here, Brooke?
So on the plate front for here, I also gave this plate a 2 out of 5. This
Please
one,
describe the plate.
This one to me was almost like a bathroom caddy, like that you had in college and you like needed to take your stuff to the bathroom. That's what this plate was. It was just unnecessarily compartmentalized, as was the last one. That's all I have to say there. We also saw this like weird plastic composite material.
I need to go back and look at these plates.
Super strange.
The feedback for Brooke.
It's literally, sorry to linger on it. It's literally like when you have a thing on the counter and it's like, oh, here's like what my Q-tips are in and like here's what the like cotton pads are in. Like that's what it felt like. Okay.
I'm obsessed with the cutlery commentary of this episode.
Horrible.
We should do this more often. I'm very glad that you took notes on this.
Yes.
And I'm honestly embarrassed that I didn't. It was such a critical part of the service.
I was just so disgusted the entire dinner service was.
You know, why don't we do a running would you eat that? Lizzie's cabbage and suckling pig scallop roll or whatever. Would you eat that? No.
That's the one I would eat of all of these, but I don't think
really?
I would eat it.
Yeah, it's a hard no for me. For Brooke, the food was marinated well as surf and turf, or married well as surf and turf. The presentation, they say, was great, although 2 out of 5 for bits. But the papadum was too greasy. Next up, you want to talk greasy? Let's talk the bacon man himself, Josh.
Okay. This plate, 1 out of 5. If I could give it 0, I guess I could. I made up this rating system. His was this strange, like, suspended tornado structure where you had, like, the wire, you know, swirling upward, and then you had, like, the little, like, dishes shooting out from the structure. So, like, everything just felt like a – I honestly don't know what you would serve in that.
It's
– like, dips, I guess.
Yeah, dips. Or, like, cocktail nuts.
Yeah, yes. Yes, 100%. This one made me want to vomit. I was so upset that they liked this. I was so upset.
I was also really upset that they liked this. I share that feeling. The only notes I have is that they said good flavor, but not enough scallop.
Oh, I think there was way too much scallop. That he blended scallop with egg whites.
Gross.
How did you think that was going to become pasta? And also, even if you knew it was going to become pasta, why do you pick that plate? Or maybe I guess he picked the plate after he pivoted the approach, but
it was so disgusting. He wanted to, for the listeners at home, because we actually haven't discussed it, disgusting it. He attempted to make scallop pasta. Now, I thought he was going to do kind of like a zucchini noodle situation where like it was just going to be scallop in the shape of pasta.
Right, right.
But no, he pureed it with eggs and like was hoping that this mixture would set in some mysterious way that it would turn into literal pasta. And then surprise of the century, it did not. And he was like, I guess I'll just make scrambled eggs out of it.
Oh my God.
Pasta is egg and flour. What made him think that scallop is a suitable substitute for flour, a dry ingredient?
So disgusting.
I think he should be eliminated on that logic alone.
And then also that the bacon came on as bacon bits. Like they sprinkled that on top of it.
Just don't put fuck – are you allergic to serving a dish without bacon, my guy? Like, it wasn't even in the dish. It was like, oh, I'm going to short circuit if there's no bacon on this dish.
It was disgusting.
Also, like, yeah, it wasn't cooked with any technicality. It was, like, cooked within an inch of its life, ground up, and put on the side. Like, how is that surf and turf?
It was – I also felt like this was an instance of – you know, like the difference of you only ever want to be better than your last self versus comparing outwards of, okay, I want to be the best in this group of five versus like, I want to be better than myself last time.
Uh-huh.
I feel like for Josh this episode, they were basing their judging on, is this a better Josh than the Josh we've seen previously? Mm. And for some reason, the answer to that question was yes, but they weren't thinking of it across the board is this better than everybody else's plate on the table? I just felt like there was a weird logic to his, I don't know, to deeming his success this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Did he won this, right? Or did Brooke win?
That's a great question. Josh, Brooke won. Brooke won.
Okay, okay, phew, okay.
But he was on the top. But let's round this out with Stefan because he's the last one we need to talk about. Stefan made pork belly and eel. He made a pork belly ravioli. He made an eel ravioli with braised pork belly. And this pork belly was essentially cement from what it sounded like.
Disgusting sounding. Like it like actually odd sounded disgusting when people ate it. The level of crunch was biting. It was biting a tooth.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
The sound effect was disgusting.
Yeah, and the parsnip puree that he made overpowered everything.
It also just looked, from a bite perspective, you had these massive raviolis and these massive chunks of pork belly.
Yeah.
That just kind of sat next to each other on the – I just thought it looked very unharmonious and unappetizing.
Yep.
I did give his plate a 3 out of 5 because it was the closest to actually being a plate. But it was like a – his was the painter's palette.
Oh, right.
I don't think he used it well, but I also found it to be, on the whole, the least offensive looking plate. And so I awarded it 3 out of 5.
Wow. Okay. So I guess what would be a 5 out of 5 plate for you?
Just a normal plate. Just a round, or even – I would allow it for even a square plate, but it needs to be a normal plate.
You heard it here first.
That's how close is this to a literal plate? The distance – the plate to disc – the distance to plate ratio was very large in this one, very large delta.
Yeah. Anyway, so on the bottom, on the top we have Josh and Brooke. On the bottom we have Sheldon and Stefan. Sheldon essentially gets hammered for it being like really boring, and like okay in terms of its preparation. Stefan gets grilled for the greasiness of the noodle and the pork belly being too hard. And of course, Stefan is defensive. He literally can't be like, no, that's not what I meant. He was like, that's how I like it. No, you don't, my guy. No one likes eating teeth.
No.
No one. Well, so anyway, Stefan is the final all-star to fall in this season of Top Chef.
Mm.
Farewell, Stefan, finally. And where is he now, Bits? Would you like to know?
I'd love to know.
He's back in Finland, baby.
Oh,
he is
cool.
The executive chef and co-owner of a chain of steakhouses called, would you like to guess the name of the steakhouses?
Steak and Hogan.
That would be great. It's Stefan's Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Nothing quite like Volt and Agio by two different restaurants by Brian Voltaggio, but we'll take Stefan's Steakhouse. Anyway, so they're all over Finland. He has moved out of California. He has a passion for building wood saunas. He has an 8-year-old son. And he's just living off the land, it appears.
Good for him.
Good for
him. I will
him.
Say, you know what? Like, yeah, he says some problematic shit, but he knows the assignment.
Yes.
He brought a lot of energy to the season.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of potatoes.
And a lot of potatoes. And a lot of tude. And, like, some healthy tension between him and Padma in terms of Padma just kind of lording over everything.
100%.
So.
So would you eat that? Stefan's pork belly?
No way.
No. Neither would I. Sounds awful.
I will say, though, that it was kind of whack that Curtis supported it and then kind of backtracked at judge's table. I was like, Curtis, you were loving it. Don't lie. But I do agree that maybe you need to know how to cook for the judge's, like, palate sensibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounded disgusting.
Disgusting. Okay, judgy table. Are you ready for my cold boat judgy table?
Yeah, it's cold boat judgy table.
I really should not have built it up for 2 episodes because I actually don't even know what I'm about to say. So, Nancy, your cold boat judgy table starts now. Boats should not be attended when it is cold out. It should be hot. You should be in the Mediterranean, the Aegean, the Caribbean, a warm environment. You should be lapping in the sun. It should not be a battle against the elements to enjoy the open waters. It should be a luxurious, calming experience where you get a little tan. And I'm not talking windswept from an iceberg. I'm talking sun rays, melanin production. That is what you should be doing on a boat. Not braving the elements against a force of nature. The end. The cold boat judgy table hath been laid.
I feel like the only excuses for being on a cold boat are you're a deep sea and or Arctic explorer.
scientist and
researcher, yes.
Yeah.
Or you're a deep sea fisherman and
it's your job.
It's your job. And but if we're talking leisure, I agree. Even though I did really enjoy the Alaska cruise.
I was inside
as a kid
on like the rock climbing.
Yeah, we were like inside. Swimming in the pool. We yeah. swam in the pool. It was like, I remember because it was a saltwater pool and I dove in.
Wait, me too.
And I got a huge ear infection.
We are the same.
Did you also? I had to yes. go to the infirmary on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's crazy.
Wow.
I used to get them all the time as a kid though.
Me too. Ugh.
Maybe that's just like kid shit. You don't know how to regulate your body and your ears are just...
I used to always get them. They're so painful. I could do a judgy table on how much I hate ear infections.
Oh, yes.
Ear infections, I think not. That's my judgy table. Okay. Bits, your judgy table, which I feel like you've done a lot for us in service of this on the plates this episode, but your judgy table starts now.
Pork belly.
Oh!
I don't like it. I just think it's so fatty and just always there in a chunk. I don't know how I'm supposed to eat it. Am I supposed to eat the meaty part? Am I supposed to cut a portion of the fat and eat it with the meat? I think it's gross. Like, I actually don't enjoy it whatsoever. I think it's odd that it can be presented as the primary protein. It just feels so nothing to me in a way that it's either a supporting flavor and I'm enjoying some other main protein, or I just don't want it there at all. But I don't get the appeal, and it's too fatty for me, and that's my judgy table.
Aggressive affirmation. I could not agree with you more on that judgy table.
Like, what's the deal?
It's so chunky, yeah. And there's that huge piece of fat that, if not rendered properly, is gross.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with it.
It's, oh my God, thank you for saying what needed to be said.
I just feel like it's so odd that there isn't more. I just wish I would hear more people come out in support of this.
Well, sign me up for your army. Oh, I will fight, man, for you and this. Yeah,
this
cause. Boat,
this episode really had a lot I hated about food, but a lot I loved about reality TV, which is absolutely dunking on it.
Oh my gosh. Well, next week it looks like we are in Alaska and Stefan and Kristen are having the final Last Chance Kitchen showdown. We'll see who wins, Wifey or Stefan.
Yeah. Or Stefan.
Or this bald dude.
I cannot believe, yeah, that she's just been – you know what's crazy? We didn't really talk about enough because we didn't watch The Last Chance as we watched this. How far CJ got. Like, I think CJ, he won yeah. five or six in
he
a row.
He made it until Kristen, and then yeah. Kristen beat him.
That's just insane.
Insane. And, like, I kind of get, like, when we looked him up, how he, like, didn't really mention it all this season. Like, I think the season was maybe a bit traumatic for him.
Yeah, because I think he's probably extremely talented and just had terrible luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great luck until it ran out.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of running out, we got to go.
We got to go, my guy.
But wow. We will catch you on next week's episode of Compliments to the Chef.
Bye.
Bye.